Hello.
What's that?
That's hello in Swedish.
I won't say when are we going to Sweden. That would be unfair.
I'm ready.
Yeah. How was your day?
It was pretty good. It was a nice little adventure.
We revisited Turkey Point on normal mountain bikes rather than fat bikes. We were there when we were there before. We did record a podcast, but I don't think we felt we covered enough trails to give a proper overview, I guess.
Yeah, not a ton. We didn't cover a ton at all
last time.
No, and I was thinking about it today while we were riding, just how, I mean, it's not like it was fast conditions or anything. We were trudging, and just what a difference it is in the winter, how little kilometers or miles you can do some days versus dry trails in other seasons on regular bikes.
Broken bikes don't help either.
Well, yes, there was a few things.
Flat tires.
That's true. But it was still a slog.
It was. So it lives up to its name, Turkey Point. Not that there's turkeys, but the fact that it's got a reputation for being one of the fastest drying areas and one of the quickest areas that becomes rideable. And I would say that's true. I mean, it was raining last week and then 2 days of sunshine, and most of it was pretty dry today. I mean, based on my bike cleanup, or the bike cleanup when I got back, it's the cleanest it's been since probably October.
I think that one of the days last week, it was like monsoon rain too. That was the day that I was saying there was lightning and
yeah,
all day long. It rained a lot though that day, and that was earlier this week. But then we also got some snow and it melted and it's really warmed up. So it was impressive how dry it was there today, given the weather that we've had in the last week.
And it's the sand. I mean, I think that's what it is. And also, maybe it's in a little microclimate. If we don't move to Sweden, we should maybe move to Turkey Point.
Even the mud that we did cruise through wasn't even like regular mud. It was more like clayish, like sticky, like Play-Doh. That's sort of what it was like.
Yeah.
Play-Doh. It wasn't regular mud.
No, I mean, all of the trail surfaces, apart from the footpath we ended up on because we cut that corner.
Did a little bushwhacking, as usual.
It was all rideable. It was all quick rideable, to be honest.
Quite.
So, yeah, I was impressed. I'll talk a bit about the trails specifically in a second, but we did see a little furry creature on the way in, didn't we?
Oh, we did. It was such a treat. And he was booking it.
Does that mean moving quickly?
Yes.
He was wiling.
What does that mean?
Or wily coyote, So we parked at the car park, which is Charlottesville Road. I think the address is 978-1124 Charlottesville Road, but I'll put a Trail Forks link in like I normally do. And we haven't been to all the car parks, but we've been to at least three, and this one has a porta potty, just to say, because I know some people need facilities.
Yeah, and it was just fine.
As fine as they go.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in better, but I've certainly been in much worse.
So we started off on a trail called Methane. That was our first trail.
Was it?
Yeah. Did you, what did you think of that?
Is that the one that I had to go back and do
again? We revisited, yeah.
Oh, that's what that one was called. Okay, I thought it was a different one. Oh, man, it was excellent. I just don't know if I was quite ready for it straight out of the gates, even though it was fine, but in order to get full enjoyment and full satisfaction, I did end with that trail as well. And it was much more fun the second time I did it than the first time.
And you're right, it's roughshod, not methane. If you look on Trail Forks...
Methane was right beside it, right?
If you look on Trail Forks, if you zoom out on Trail Forks, so you come out of the car park past the porta potty, and you're straight onto roughshod, and that trail definitely uses the elevation, I would say, to the best of its ability.
To a T.
The only thing I would say about this entire place, and it is a plethora of trails. I mean, we've been there twice now. I mean, we were there a lot longer today. There's still a whole chunk we haven't even investigated, and we only did a few of the blacks.
Well, I guess stay tuned for part three then.
Because we didn't even get to the water's edge, did we?
No.
We were way off that. But it's bi-directional.
Oof.
Ontario, figure it out. Like, you're cooking coming down this roughshod trail, and
quite
there's people coming the other way, and it's not their fault. And actually, generally, people are fine. Like, I tend to stop anyway, but I didn't on one occasion. It's all a bit bizarre. The you know, Europe doesn't have many things right, or the UK, but this one-way trail systems in trail centres with the downhill having the priority definitely makes more sense than having people going whichever direction they really want to go in. So, just my opinion. But
I just think it is a little dangerous. I mean, in places where it's bi-directional like this, I'm sorry, Jamie Darley, but you are going first.
Yeah.
Yeah, freaks me out a little bit, because it's you know, it's quite treed, and even right now, this season, this time of year, the trees are quite bare. It's not, you know, full of green and thick and lush, but even with the bare trees, you can't always see around corners or too far ahead.
No, and it is bizarre to me that there's no leaves on the trees, and people seem to like either... Not everybody, but there was a good chunk of people today that were like, oh, sorry, thanks for waiting. Like, I don't know if people are just looking at their front tyre or what they're doing, but they're not looking up because they're not seeing anybody by the look of it. It's bizarre.
I don't know. It's like, does not everybody know the kind of etiquette, or do we just not know the etiquette?
Well, the etiquette is that the trail person coming up the hill has priority too. That was always...
But if you're blasting down one of these hills, like, it's going to be pretty darn hard to stop.
I get it, but the actual rules are you give way to the person coming up the hill.
Which I do understand, and it makes sense, but I'm just saying, if you were giving her downhill,
yeah,
that, again, it just brings me back to, like, it could be actually quite dangerous to... And it's not like you can just... A lot of areas you can't just really pull over to the side. It's a tight squeeze.
No, and then, you know, and then the non-mountain bikers will say, well, you should be in control. And I think one of the things people don't...
I'm not always in control. Guilty.
One of the things people don't get is that most of us like going downhill, right? So you ride all the way up to go down. And I think a few people share my opinion on this. I generally will give way to someone coming down rather than I will give way to someone coming up as well. But I would always try and stop for someone coming down because I kind of know how much effort's gone into getting to the top of the thing. To then halfway down, you're down of somebody coming up and you have to stop. It's a little bit frustrating. So
it all seems a little confusing.
Whereas if it's one way, it makes more sense. So
it really does, and just sounds a lot safer to...
Yeah, and if it's flat cross-country for the lycra-clad community, if it's flat, it still doesn't matter to have one-directional trails because you can swap it. And same here, like, you can have it going one way, and then if you feel that some of the berms are getting worn out or, you know, for some reason you want to swap the direction, then swap the direction, turn the arrows around.
Anyway, enough whinging from us, but I do think it's valid.
Yeah. So we did this Roughshod Trail twice, but we did quite a few other trails. But then we picked up on something called Rainbow Ridge, which goes around Normandale Creek. It looks like a lake, but it's actually a creek. And this is where Jessica spotted some watercresses.
Yes, I did. Lots of it.
We'd found watercress before, but it was too close to a sewage processing plant. And we'll talk about where this one was. But do you want to talk a little bit about the watercress we found and the kind of...
Do you want me to now or later?
Yeah, you can. I mean, we may as well. If we do it in order, that was the where we were on the journey.
Okay. So I yelled, Jamie, stop! Watercress! Probably as we had just stopped 2 minutes before for gosh knows what else. Oh yeah, some red berry that tasted like coconuts. Yeah.
Which you had and I didn't, but yeah.
As I just said, but I don't want to interrupt our ride.
Excuse me.
Can we go back down the hill that we just rode up and into the water? So, yes, we found some pretty good patches of watercress. And as Jamie mentioned, previous finds were in some pretty suspicious, murky waters.
The condom hanging on the tree was a good indication that, you know, when it floods, the sewage water is quite high.
Oh.
Anyway, that wasn't this place. This was another place.
Yeah, that was an unpleasant memory. So, watercress, guys, I'm going to try and say the name. Nasturtium officinale.
Sounds official.
So, watercress, maybe many of you may have seen in the supermarket and have tried before. And it is awesome. So, I knew that you could find it in the wild, and actually, Jamie, did you used to pick it in England quite often?
We have a lot of it in England, and there's actually an old railway line called the Watercress Line, which is in Hampshire, I think, where they actually have watercress beds. But it's interesting, because you're going to talk about this in a minute, but the watercress I've picked with my parents was always harvested with a pair of nail scissors. I don't know why nail scissors, because that's probably all we had with us. And it's fast flowing chalk bottomed rivers that are maybe 6 inches deep, which means that the river's flowing really quickly, so you don't have that like stagnancy kind of, you pull it out and all the gravel, it's clean basically before you've even started. So some of what you're saying is not my experience, because in England it's where it grows is a bit different generally. So
gotcha. So this was some pretty clear, clean looking water that was moving, hence why I made Jamie stop to collect some.
We've had Sid join us today. It's always a different cat at the moment.
Yep.
She'll probably start purring now, and then won't be able to edit that out.
Sid can just be part of it today. That's all right. So watercress, if you haven't gathered just yet, it is an aquatic plant. It grows in the water. And it is part of the mustard family, brassicas, so broccoli and kale and all those good things. And it has quite a strong spicy or peppery flavor, which I do love. So think like radish or horseradish, or it actually quite reminds me of like very mature rocket or arugula. So what's also awesome about watercress is that you can forage it all year round, provided the water is not frozen, of course. It's a perennial plant, and if you look closely, the stems are hollow, and it has oval or lance-shaped leaves. They're arranged in opposite pairs with one larger one at the tip. And since it is winter, the watercress that we found today was on the smaller side. What would you say? A little leaflet was only maybe about 2 to 3 inches long?
Yeah, I would say that's about right.
Yeah, and I think you could... they could be quite a bit bigger in other seasons. So, as we were talking about the water,
This is quite important that you only want to collect from clean water sources. And again, as we've mentioned, look for cool, clean, moving water. And if you want to eat the watercress raw, I would really recommend making sure that you pick it from above the water level.
Which, just to say, where we were today would be quite difficult because it was literally on the water, wasn't it?
Correct. And I think this is winter months, again, it being smaller and not quite as abundant as in other seasons, it was a little bit more submerged. So, yeah.
Or maybe the water level's high because of all the rain and everything.
Right. Good point.
Not sure. But, yeah.
So, know the water that you are picking from. And if you're unsure about it, well, no problem. Just cook it. which, for today's batch that we collected, we are going to cook it and just boil it in some salted water. And for sure, that will kill off any parasites or bacteria. And just a little fun fact that... that good old term of superfood, it is considered one. It is pretty darn rich in vitamin C, A, B6, K, and calcium. So, we collected quite a good lot today. I did clean it in a number of changes of water, as there are like little snails and like dirt and all kinds of little bits and bobs of little pebbles and this and that in there. So, yeah.
Good job. We did track up the water source a little bit, didn't we?
We continued
on our trail.
Oh, yeah, that was to the next stop.
We came to what we thought was a water treatment plant, but it turned out not to be. We spoke to a very nice lady, and it was a fish... What was the word she
Hatchery?
Used? Yeah, so they're breeding fish to release into the wild for Ontario. It's trying to increase the fish population. And what were the fish they were breeding?
Salmon. Was it coho salmon?
Yeah.
And Chinook?
Yeah, I think that was the two.
Several kinds of salmon anyways.
So yeah, and I mean, it seemed like an interesting job. She's cruising around in a big white pickup with Ontario written on the side of it, and
it was just in such a cool spot too, like sort of just in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, it was excellent, and I think she was slightly jealous of our ride. She said, "Nice day for a ride."
She was, yeah.
When I'm in the office tomorrow, I would wish I was working at a fish farm.
She knew she had a cool job too, though.
She did. So we kind of carried on from there and did a few other trails, and then we ended up on a trail called Hot Flash, which is kind of hooking back towards the car park. That was the one with the rock rolls and the little drops on that, which you seem to get into that.
Yeah, I would like to just say that I was thinking about that as well along our travels, that... There's no, like, crazy wild features there.
No.
There's quite a few little ones. And I guess I was just a bit surprised by that for, how well-known and sort of, I guess, renowned this place is. That I expected there to be some more.
There's two black trails where there's some pretty big... downhill. Well, I say pretty big, it's Ontario and there's 250 foot of ascent, but there is two black trails in the woods there that are not nothing, that have got some bigger drops, and yeah, to the point where a few people I know that have ridden it have been like, I didn't expect that. So
but spoke too soon.
Yeah, but out of a lot of trail, it's only a couple of trails that have got those bigger features.
And, maybe more that what I was trying to say then is it's kind of seemed like there was no medium-sized features. They were relatively small, the ones that we went over today.
But incredibly well-built, I think.
Very, and super fun. Like, I love them. They're totally my speed, like, nothing too scary or difficult, like... you know, you can kind of go for it and then feel good about it that you did it.
Yeah, and I think if you were ever struggling with drops out on the trail, this would be a good place to go, because they're not nothing, but they've got a good long run out, and it's just sensibly built so that everything is rideable or avoidable, actually.
Yeah, good way to put it. And if you want to try riding it, like you said, there were lots of good lead-ups and landings, so a good place to practice and progress.
And then we went on to... We did a few bits of blacks, but I tried to keep off of the blacks. Jessica's kind of still...
Nowhere near where I was.
Getting back to riding. But we did do a black called Toxic City, which is the one that takes you back to the car park, which... Again, there's nothing on there that was terribly terrible, but there was some really interesting kind of features and rock rolls and...
Like a whole garden.
Yeah, like there was enough stuff on there to be quite interesting. And I did notice today as well, and I noticed it on that particular trail, quite a number of kind of couples with like one person on an e-bike and one person on a normal bike, which is quite nice to see. Like,
I also noticed that
those people perhaps wouldn't be able to ride together if maybe the less fit one wasn't on the e-bike.
So true.
Yeah, which I thought was a huge positive, is my point for saying that today. So that sort of was that, really, for us. We maybe did 7 or 8 miles, and as Jessica said, we did one trail twice because she wanted to revisit it. She had some unfinished business. There's a couple of other things I just wanted to mention. I got a tick on me today, which means that by, you know, March the 3rd, they're already out and about down there. So
Frankie.
There's all the signs and everything that says be tick aware and all of that, and, you know, be sensible, but just be aware that they are...
Already starting!
Yeah, I mean, I just happened to notice it on my arm, so...
I mean, it was like a million degrees today.
It was, but that means they've incubated, bred, hatched, done all their nonsense, and now they're strolling around looking for hosts, which...
All the creepy things... the thought of something burrowing into you is just not pleasant.
If you wear knee guards or knee pads, they're a good move because they do seem to stop them from getting up your leg.
And just the old classic thorough check when you get home, which is what we do. Yep.
So back to that one, but I'm just bringing it up because I just think, you know, maybe just be aware of those little suckers. It was a bit of a different breed as well. It was a green and...
He had a red spot on his back.
So, I don't know. I could look it up. I will look it up at some point. But, it was a different one. So, also a lot of birds cruising high up in the sky today, we noticed.
Yeah, I would say more falcons and more eagles.
Which was excellent. So, yeah, have you got anything else to say about the old Turkey Point?
Well, I had a jolly good time today.
I think that says it all, really.
And again, just beautiful mixed forest. I was reminded of a few places. I did say, actually, I was a little bit reminded of Sault Ste. Marie, of Hiawatha. Yeah,
you did.
Highlands. Maybe it was that sort of sandiness or the coniferous, heavy forest. But good mix, though, too. Tons of oak trees. Some other kind of tree that I'm trying to get to the bottom of identifying that looks like half birch and half something else. If anyone knows what it is, let me know.
Quite a few people there today.
Yes.
And everybody knows my view of people. Like, I'd rather ride where there's nobody. But I did think today, if you were newish or not so confident and you went on your own, that would be a good place to ride on your own, because there is actually... You know, a lot of people cruising through on a good riding day. I did think that was, you know, I get that that can be a positive for the more social people, myself. But
most people were pretty friendly today, too,
yeah, I would say so.
There was lots of enjoy your rides.
Unusually so, compared to some other places we've been, actually. I also, when we left, there was a group of older dudes in the car park, and... whatever they were doing, but they did say, like, enjoy the trails. I do think the people that we joined anyway, but the people that look after that place and put the work in, I think they're incredibly proud of it. I mean, their social media posts, just to give you an idea, and I understand it's because of the weather, but, you know, you get social media posts from Hydrocut is stay off the trails. It's like a bicycle with a red cross through it, which is like no entry. It's quite
discouraging.
It's just a bit unpleasant. And Turkey Point posted something saying, yesterday, the trails are really good today. The trails will be even better tomorrow. And even when they ask you to stay off, they're like, these trails are struggling because of the moisture. Could you ride these trails? It's just a bit more of a positive way of dealing with things. So just a side note from me, but I don't know. I appreciate the positive rather than the negative, I would say.
Sid agrees.
Sid agrees. She's growling at somebody. So that was that. And then we left there. We didn't do the farm shop today, but we did last time.
We went on a new adventure today. Look for
the previous edition of the podcast. Yeah, we've seen, or Jessica's pointed out on a couple of occasions now.
Well, there's a huge sign. It's hard to miss.
That you should stop there for your peanuts. And I've been like, yeah. And there's a mushroom farm nearby that's closed. Seems to be closed permanently. It's never open. So I was maybe just a little bit like, oh, is this going to be closed? So Colonel Peanuts, which is what the thumbnail will probably be.
Colonel Peanuts
not Limited. Not Colonels, Colonel Peanuts. We cruised in there and paid them a visit. They've got like a secondhand store as well as everything peanut, really.
Yeah, they grow them, they dry them and roast them. And
yeah, she was saying it's ex-tobacco plantation soil, or the soil is the same as tobacco plantations, which is exceptionally good for peanuts. I guess peanuts are less offensive than tobacco unless you're allergic to them.
We didn't catch her name, did we?
No, but it's Colonel Peanuts Limited, and it's 389 Fisher Glen Road, Victoria, Ontario. And they have got an email address, which is colonel@kwic.com.
Nothing but the best, says on their card.
If you're there, it's 100% worth a visit. As long as you don't mind nuts. And they were not skimpy with the free samples, were they?
I would rave about this little treasure of a find today. I would give this stop a, maybe even an 11 star rating. This one goes to 11. I had no idea that they were going to have a little vintage antique secondhand shed, essentially.
Well, we spent $28 in total on peanuts, free samples.
But in that garage was a real mixed bag of nuts.
You've been waiting to get that in there.
I know, I just thought of it, but I did have to wait a second. I'm horrible with jokes, so that was a big one. So, and she told us a great story about how the little secondhand shed even started.
Somebody died, I think a mother died or something. Mm-hmm. And then, so they were kind of getting rid of some of that, as you have to, I guess. And then someone else that works there was really into vintage stuff. So then they've kind of carried on and added stuff to it. And now it's kind of become its own thing in its own right, which is excellent.
Quite. And it's the perfect amount to kind of cruise through. Not heaps of things, but a good little, you know, there's even a nice little sign encouraging you to look under the tables for treasures. And it was excellent and very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
Then on to the peanuts side of things. As Jamie said, there was plenty of samples and information, and the lady was just ever so kind and
she was the right amount of support. Helpful, not pushy, cool, laid back kind of, yeah. It was a positive experience, I would say.
Quite. You even got some British licorice.
It is, some licorice toffee.
Which is delicious.
Which actually, just for anybody who is English listening to this, I spotted it because this is something that we do have in England. England's finest. Established in 1894, Walker's Nonsuch licorice toffee. Whack, then unwrap and enjoy. Kiss.
That is, I didn't read that part on the kiss at the end. That's fantastic.
So, yeah. Anyway, that was excellent. And it says made in England. In fact, I should have bought all of the ones she had there. I wish I had now. Just means we'll have to go back to Turkey Point sometime.
Well, they had so many darn different kinds of peanuts. I had to just say, you know what, let's pick two. Because we're definitely going to be back. And they had black-shelled, black-skinned peanuts too, which were apparently quite unique. I've never seen black-skinned peanuts before. Have you?
No, I haven't. Saw the other ones, but not the black ones. We got some dill, and then what was the other one? Salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar.
Yeah. We'll see what they're like.
She let you sample like both of them, and just it was fantastic. Positive.
It was good.
I think she even had peanut pies.
She did have a lot of pies, I think, but they were frozen. We didn't get
another
into that.
Time for sure. So yes, a must stop, I would say.
I would agree. Do you have anything else that you would like to bring up or add?
I do not think so.
So that just means one thing to say.
Go and get lost!